Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Filmmaking Conversations with Damien Swaby.
Today on Filmmaking Conversations, I speak to Claire Cooney. She is a SAG actor and filmmaker currently living in Los Angeles. Her credits include Steve McQueen's Widows, NBC's Chicago PD, Pop TV's Hot Date, NBC's Shrink, and lead roles in independent features. As a filmmaker, she wrote, directed, edited, and starred in Runner. This short film played at 15 film festivals, winning 6 awards and garnering Cooney a Filmmaker to Watch nomination from the Oscar-qualifying Atlanta Film Festival. Most recently, she wrote, directed and edited the romantic drama Pickup, filmed with a skeleton cast and crew during the COVID-19 pandemic. Pickup made its festival premiere at the Oscar-qualifying Indie Shorts Film Festival 2021. And has already received over 400 views online. Check out the show notes in this episode of Filmmaking Conversations because you'll be able to see all of the films we discuss with Claire in this podcast. I started the podcast. I know it's clear. Growing up, why exactly did she want to become an actress?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, my parents definitely took me to see plays and things like that. That's the nice thing about like growing up in a, you know, we lived in a suburb of Detroit, but we were like a 20-minute drive from all the concert halls and the theaters downtown. So, you know, if there's ever a great show in town or a concert or just going to see like a Christmas Carol or something like that. Like they were always culturally engaged, which was great. My mom had me playing piano from the time I was 5. So I was very interested in, you know, music and, we're very much a family that appreciates the arts, but I'm the only one in my family that pursued the arts. And I did a lot of plays and stuff growing up, like 6th grade, I think was my first play. I was just like a specialty dancer in the chorus kind of thing. I had done some Irish step dancing when I was really young, so I already was kind of interested in dance and music and that kind of thing. But I did all the musicals and plays through 6th through 12th grade, and then when I went to college, I actually figured I'd leave that in the past and pursue something that was a little bit more stable and reliable, because I was a good student, I had great grades, and so I thought I'd just get a job and maybe pursue plays on the side for fun. But then it ended up being that I kept doing it a lot through college, and I love it very, very much. So it kind of happened to me. I never really intentionally chose it until after I graduated college.
Why did you start to think, and at what age did you really start to think, oh, well, acting is quite unstable, and dance and the arts, I might not be able to make a career out of that. And why did that happen?
I think I kind of always had it to some extent because no one in my family did it. You know, my dad's a lawyer, my sister went to law school, and, you know, she was a lawyer. my brother, you know, works in public policy. Most of my family is like lawyers and doctors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of, I mean, I think in popular culture, it is at times a joke, you know, where it's like the butt of a joke on a sitcom of like, oh, he's an actor. He's trying to be an actor. I think that that's pretty common that we see actors or artists being shown only as dreamers and as kind of irrational or, you know, not having a solid plan, not being able to pay their bills. I think it's all over in popular, all, you know, in TV shows and books and all that kind of stuff. But I never felt like shamed by anyone personally for my interest in it. If anything, my parents really encouraged my passion for it. I think I always, at least as far as I can remember, I did hold the belief that it wasn't something that one could pursue for a career. Yeah. I mean, maybe when I was really young, I dreamt of it, but at least through high school and even parts of college, I never thought I'd be pursuing it as a career.
I'm so happy you did, because, you know, you've done so much great work. It'd be a shame if you didn't. And some of the roles you've done, yeah. You've been on, you know, network television and worked on a show I've recently found out called Chicago PD. What is it like working mm-hmm. on television, knowing you had those thoughts before? And what do you think you would be doing if you wasn't an actress?
Well, one thing I say to my parents a lot is when you're an actor, you're either a fool or a hero, right? Where you either get success and people, and, you know, success comes to actors because of talent and hard work. Sure. But a lot of it is the right place, right time. It's luck, it's connections. And so when you have success and you're relatively young, people look at you like you're a hero. But if you don't have success for quite some time and you keep doing it, you keep plugging away and you keep trying, people start to pity you and like think you're a fool. And so I certainly was not someone who had success early on. You know, I felt, oh no, am I feeling foolish kind of thing. And so for me, it was really gratifying to finally, you know, get, I had a role in Chicago PD. I had a role on Chicago Med. I had a recurring role on a CW show called The 4400 that just aired last year. Those experiences like were really nice, concrete examples of like, oh, I'm not a fool for pursuing this career, you know, that can be seen as really unstable and is one of the most competitive fields in the entire world. It was really gratifying is the right way to say it, I think. And to feel like I'm not only can I do it, but I should do it. And that I, you know, I can be successful at this thing and I can be a team player and someone people want to have on set. You know, it just felt really great. It was so much fun.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. I love Chicago Med also. I think I'm on season 5 has just finished for me. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was just on an episode like 2 months ago. So you've got a bit until you see me, I think, but you'll see me.
Oh, great. I certainly look out for it. It'd be great to see you in that, because I've seen you obviously in films. And one of the things that I really admired about you, why I wanted you on the podcast, is because a lot of times actors don't go down the road of potentially taking the bull by the horns or approaching an engaging story that they want to tell. And sometimes they do, and they might not be able to execute it in certain ways. And I know on one of your short films, certainly I think Runner, you edited it, directed it and produced it, which is no easy feat. And I'm not sure about Pick Up if you did that on that film too. But that was it was the same. Great. It was a lovely film. It kept me engaged. I kind of thought, what is going to happen? And I also thought it was shot so well. It was done so well. And for an actor to do that, whose primarily purpose is to act, I mean, it might be different now because obviously you've done mm-hmm. directed films. It really, really showed what people can be capable of doing. And sometimes when people are capable of doing it, they do it and they show it and it looks really, really, really good. So What is the purpose behind Pickup? Did you just want to make something to showcase your ability to direct and be great behind the camera? Or is it a personal story also? Because it felt like that to me when I watched it.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. And that actually is just, it's so nice to hear. Like, a lot of people have said this must be like based on a true story. There's no way, you know, that this just came from your imagination. Not that it's that imaginative, but just that I think that it felt very slice of life and very real to people. So I love to hear that. And thank you so much. Yeah, I had already directed. So I directed Runner. That was my first short film. And I also wrote that and cut it and produced it. And that was quite a feat. And then I had directed two other short films after Runner that were written by friends of mine. And then Pickup, I wrote and directed, and that was about a little over a year ago. It was honestly, I think for me, I don't make a short film, or I don't write a short film, at least, unless a story really grabs me. So I don't write a ton. Runner and Pickup are two of the only narrative pieces I've ever written, because I find it difficult to, I have yet to perfect my work ethic as a writer, where like a lot of writers say you need to wake up every day and write for 15 minutes or half an hour. It's like good practice to get your thoughts out. And that's like a really great practice for a writer. And I have yet to have success writing a script that way. My scripts have always come like spur of the moment, while I'm on a jog or in the shower or about to fall asleep, where the entire movie almost like comes to my head fully formed, and I bolt upright from my bed and I write it all down, and then I kind of mold it over the next 48 hours, and then it's done. Like for me, at least, the ideas just drop in. And so that's what Pickup was. I had this moment, this was the height of COVID, and I had this moment where I was imagining two people who, you know, maybe ex-lovers or good friends, or maybe they're going to still be lovers, it's hard to say, who start a car ride masked and sitting as far apart as they possibly can. And then they end the car ride masks off and close together and connecting in some way. And so that was the initial visual image that grabbed me that I thought was interesting, because I think space, or the lack of space, has been really huge in COVID in terms of like 6 feet away and all that kind of stuff, you know, and trying to only be outside or wearing masks and with whom we take off our masks versus with whom we keep our masks on. And obviously things have really relaxed in the time since I've made the film. But initially it was just an idea about exploring kind of what a relationship or an ex relationship or a friendship would look like in COVID, and not adding any kind of dramatics onto it, not adding any kind of like, you know, COVID content, really. It takes place in the time of COVID, but we're not really talking about COVID, which is what I liked. That it just was like existing, because we all are having very similar conversations about work and love and life and all that kind of stuff, and how we've all been deeply affected by this thing. So that was the initial impetus. You know, I think that making a short film because you want to showcase yourself as a writer or a director or an actor isn't enough motivation to make a short film. I think you have to just really love a certain story and pursue that story. So that's definitely what it was for me. And then, yeah, I got my friend Olivia, who is so talented. She's a great DP. She shot it for us really cheaply, and she's just really talented, especially with working with natural light, because we had no budget at all, and we shot it in one day.
Wow, one day.
Yeah,
one are we day, talking yeah. 12-hour day?
Yeah, I think it was less. I think it was like 11, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. I thought it might be over 2 days, but for one day, it says a lot about you and your team.
It definitely should have been over 2 days. It was 18 pages, but we didn't have the budget for it. You know, we had the gear, you know, I was paying for it myself, and it was just myself and my partner and Olivia and a sound guy. And, you know, so we didn't have the spare time to rent the equipment for an extra day or the spare money, you know, so we shot it in the day, and then we shot it at golden hour, and then we shot it at night. The only time I really got stressed was during the golden hour sunset sequence, that's a limited amount of time to shoot that kind of light. So that was stressful. And Chris, my boyfriend, and I only had, you know, two takes each maximum in the car.
That says a lot of, but I'm guessing, I mean, rehearsals can happen between anyone, but being in a relationship, did you rehearse a lot before you got onto set?
No, not that much. We read through the lines a bunch together, you know, rehearsing in our apartment. And then we, you know, he talked a little bit about what moments, like what intentions I wanted for certain moments. And we discussed kind of the dynamic between the two characters. But I trusted him as an actor, and I didn't want to get too involved in his headspace. And I knew that I could just make an adjustment on the day. It was more about making sure our lines were really, really down pat and really reliable and rapid fire, so that there was no questioning or stuttering or having some issues on the day, because we were driving, you know, we couldn't afford to be worried about our lines. And that's kind of how I like to work with actors. I think the lines have to feel like second nature and lived in your body. Cause then you can just focus on reacting or driving or eating or whatever you're doing in the scene. Cause that's what we do as humans. You know, we kind of speak stream of consciousness. We're not plotting as we go. Our words are motivated, of course, but we're not kind of usually pre-planning what we're saying until the words are already like on the tip of our tongue. So that was the goal, is just to make it really natural and lived in. And, I wrote the script with, you know, myself and my partner in mind. And so I know how I talk, I know how he talks. So in that way, it was easy to write the dialogue. But in terms of the content of the story, it was all false. I've never had anything like that happen to me before. You know, I just I like the idea of it. And I certainly took parts of my personality or his personality and wove them into the characters. But the actual storyline is fiction.
And how many drafts did you end up writing? And are there friends and people that were a part of the crew that you could share the script with and say, hey, can I get some feedback? Because I'm thinking about making this and turning it into a short film. What do you think? How did that situation go?
Yeah, I rarely ask for feedback if I feel strongly about a script, which I think if it's a feature film, it really, you need to have that feedback, because it's really difficult to shape a feature into being a cohesive arc, and you want to make sure that it's making sense to everyone. So I think that longer form content really needs more feedback. But for a short, if you feel strongly about it and it resonates with you, then I don't know that feedback is always the most helpful thing, because sometimes people will come with their own ideas and their own ideas of what the character should be, and can sometimes, without meaning to, influence your script in a negative way. So I rarely ask for feedback. What I ask for is, I go to people that I really trust, like my mom, truly, like I trust her taste, right? Or another filmmaker friend who I know is overall supportive of my work, who gets me, right? And I just say, does this story make sense? Like, were there parts where you felt really confused or you lost the thread of the story? And do you care at all about what happens either in the story or to the characters? That's really all I care to know. Is if something isn't making sense in the storytelling, then that's a major issue. That's the number one problem that most filmmakers have, is the story makes sense to them, but they've missed something on the page that will help the audience carry them through to the end of the film. Or like they wrote something that just isn't compelling and that no one really cares to watch it. But aside from that, like I don't really look for specific input, because I think it's interesting, and if I can hear the dialogue in my head and I'm the one directing it, then I'll make sure that it delivers that same way. So yeah.
And what is it exactly about your mom that you can go to her and ask for feedback rather than anybody else? Because obviously, well, I'm guessing, sorry, and I hope I'm right, that you have a close relationship with your mom and you trust and love her.
Yeah.
That's like definitely one thing. But at the same time, she might not be a person of the arts in a certain way that would understand it in the way someone else would be. So is it more of the kind of trust you have with her, or more a case of, yes, she is able to understand the arts in that way?
I think she's a tough critic. She will say to me, I liked your performance in that movie. It wasn't the best movie though. And, you know, and we'll unpack together why the movie was flawed or all, you know, all that kind of stuff. And she also she is a woman of discerning taste. You know, she's picked out my clothes for me forever. Like we have very similar tastes. We have very similar tastes in films. She's actually a much tougher critic of films than I am. I'm more of an easy target. She's a very tough critic for books. She really is picky about which books she reads. It has to be super well written. She's very well read. So I just trust her opinion about a great many things. And so I know she would give me an opinion that is upfront and honest, but is not carrying with it any ego, because her goal is to have me succeed, right? Where it can be tough to find the right friends or colleagues that will give you feedback that is lacking in any ego, meaning they're not trying to imbue part of themselves into their feedback or a little bit wanting to hear themselves talk. And whenever people ask me for feedback, I constantly have to check myself and say, you know, am I giving direct feedback that's applicable and helpful to this script? Or am I trying to make this script something that it isn't? Or am I trying to, you know, impress this filmmaker with my knowledge? You know, I'm not, you know, blaming anyone. It's just a very human thing that when we're asked for feedback, the instinct is to give critiques. But sometimes the only critique that you need to give is like, it's great, go make it, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's kind of the sweet spot there. So yeah, my mom, I've got a couple of people that I trust, but actually usually people that aren't in the business is who I go to for feedback, because I get more direct audience responses as opposed to someone who wants to make a change to my work.
That's amazing. I really like the way you put that, because there are times when I've asked for feedback and it's been like how you said, where people have wanting to impress you with their knowledge or their experience or their history. Or they put themselves into the characters. I remember showing someone, I won't say the name or anything, one of my earlier show reels, and I kind of was a bit baffled by him, because it was clear he was just putting himself onto everything he had seen. And I was just like, I've just started out kind of like with a camera and stuff. I don't know how to say, what are you talking about? But now, you know, I would know what to say to him, that's for sure. It'd be a very different conversation. But when your mum saw Pick Up, you sat down together, I'm guessing, maybe not, maybe you sent her the link. Did she like it? Did she say you were dressed well and the performance was great?
I sent her a link because I live in Los Angeles and she's still in Detroit. So I sent her a link.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
I asked her again, similar question. They said, do you understand it? Is there anything that you were confused by? Are there any moments that moved you? Did you care at all? Which characters did you find compelling? Why or why not? Which characters did you not like? Do you have a favorite moment in the film? Do you have a least favorite moment in the film? Like, I try to give specific questions so that I can just try to see. Because her job isn't to give me solutions to problems within my film, right? Her job is to help me identify where there could be problems. And in my mind, problems are things that don't make sense, moments where I want people to feel something, but they're not feeling something. Characters that are too unlikable or too likable, and because I like my films to feel very like complex, and the characters are all pretty flawed but good people. So, you know, those are the things I'm working on as a filmmaker. So her job is just to help me identify the issues, and then I have to figure out the best way to create the solutions. So when I ask people for that feedback, I give them very specific questions I want them to respond to, so that I can then be armed with ways to adjust the film to make it better for the audience and more in keeping with my goals as a filmmaker. So that's what I did for my mom, you know, and she had a couple small pieces of feedback, but she enjoyed it, I think, a lot. I asked her thoughts about music at one point, because I said, oh, what kind of song do you think works here, you know? And most of the time she just says, yeah, I think that works great. And sometimes that's all I need to hear, is just someone else that's not me who says, like, yeah, I think that works fine, or says, oh God, you want that song? What are you talking about? You know, just a genuine reaction from someone I trust. But yeah, I sent it along to, I think, 4 or 5 friends for just some general feedback. And then I did some trimming to it and playing with the music with the composer. And then right. That was it. I don't like to belabor it too much. So yeah.
You have a very progressive way to gather feedback. I really like the questions that you put to people. I really do. I'm going to steal that one from you, if you don't mind.
Please do. Please do. Yes.
So Runner, that is another film I really, really enjoyed that you made. I felt so much Thank for you. Your character. It's really shocking, the whole situation around that. And was that another one shot in one day, or did you take 2 days for this one? Because just the locations and the nature of it, again, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that was 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was that a slightly bigger budget?
Yes. I mean, it was a bigger budget. It was a different budget. So it was a bigger budget all said and done, right? I think that the budget of Pickup was about half of the budget of Runner. That being said, we initially shot Runner for $900. Because everyone worked for free on that film. The gear was free. The only things I paid for were insurance and food for people. And this was my first film. And so I just said, please, 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 I cannot afford to pay you anything. Can you please come on board? So initially, it was just my friends being just incredible people to help out me, and who was doing this for the very, very first time, who had no way to do it monetarily, who wanted to support me. So that's how Runner happened. So initially it was $900, truly. And then when it came down to it with going to festivals and applying to the festivals and my flights to get there and trying to pay some people back for a little bit of their labor, and also I had to pay for music rights and all that kind of stuff, it ended up costing a lot more. But yeah, that we made about 5 years ago, and that was my first film, and it was just incredible. Same thing as Pickup, where just like the story kind of grabbed me and I wrote it down very quickly. And then a couple drafts later, and I said, let's make this. And I had friends, thankfully, but that were sweet enough to say, yes, we support you. We think this is great. And yeah, we were off to the races. We shot it in 2 days, one day in the late October. I think it was actually Halloween. And then one day about a month or two later to show kind of the progression of time for the main character. Yeah.
So an initial $900, and it ended up playing at 15 film festivals across the United States of America, winning 6 awards and qualifying and an Academy qualifying Atlanta Film Festival. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that really is pretty amazing. You
know, you've got a great team, because it, just by watching it, I'd have thought it would have cost a lot more. I'm being honest when I say that.
Exactly. Well, and that's why I say it costs $900, but it costs so much more because, you know, everyone's labor, if I was paying them what I'd pay them now, or for the camera, what I would be paying for it now, you know, I got very lucky. It would be thousands of dollars. So, you know, but I do think it's worth stating how little I paid for it at first, only because I hope to encourage people to make their first film and ask their friends for a big favor. You know, everyone gets one big favor, one big ask. And so if you ask your really talented friend to help you make a movie, you say, I can't pay you this time, but I promise you if this goes well, the next time I will pay you. They'll probably say yes. You know what I mean? I think that everyone gets one. And that was my big one.
And your one is especially good because you can end up getting nearly 1 million views on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So it was worth it, yes.
It is worth it. But I ask many actor directors this because when I used to act and I would be in a film directing at the same time, my head would be kind of all over the place. Like, there's a problem with sound. There's a problem with, this time is running out. What am I going to do? Oh my gosh, my own performance, is it even any good? Someone's telling me it is, but I don't know if the first AD's lying. I don't know. How do you cope with juggling and wearing all those hats and acting at the same time?
It's definitely hard. I definitely don't think much about my performance at all, which for me works out okay. That. But for me, that works out okay because I find I like my performances the most when they're so lived in that I'm barely doing anything. I really do. I love when performances just feel super natural. And when I don't have time to think about it too much and I'm just reacting instinctively in the scene, I end up believing myself so much more. That being said, of course, I think I'm pretty good at being able to compartmentalize and step into the scene and really react and have fun in the scene and step out and check out the monitor or talk to my director of photography or whatever. And I can't say there's like a magic way to do that aside from just really trusting your chops as an actor. And, you know, if you wrote the words, then the words should feel even more natural coming out of your mouth than anyone else's, right?
Very true.
But also just having a director of photography that you really trust. You know, I had for the 2 days on Runner, one of the days I had an assistant director, which was great, and he was very helpful. But the other day he was sick, so we didn't have him. So I turned to my producer, who was my then partner, and I said, you know, I'm gonna need you to be my eyes at times. If I was aware of some of my habits as an actor. So I turned to my producer and my director of photography and I said, overall, I think I know when I'm doing a good job. I don't need you guys to give me notes. I do need you guys to look for something that's visual, which is that sometimes when I'm listening, my mouth hangs open just ever so slightly and it looks bad on camera. So if you see me doing that, can one of you tell me? And they both said, okay, sure. And then at one point in a take, my DP said, hey, Claire, the mouth thing, you did that on this last take. And I said, okay, copy that. So I think it's just like having a great level of self-awareness of knowing as an actor what visual things you might need someone else to tell you about. But aside from that, just trying to keep a cool head because there is a lot going on. I didn't check monitor pretty much at all because there wasn't time to. The only time I checked monitor was there's a scene where my character has a panic attack and I wanted to watch the playback on that just to see if I believed myself. Thank you. It was the first take and that's the take we used. But I said, I was like, I have to believe myself. And if I believe myself, then everyone else hopefully will, because I'm usually my own worst, you know, critic. I watched the playback on that and I was like, that was pretty good. Let's just do one or two for safety. And we did two more and they weren't quite as powerful, but they were fine. And then we moved on. So having a DP you trust, ideally a producer you trust, ideally a first AD as well, just so that you have someone else that's kind of keeping you on track. But for the most part, that's what my mind does. I think I'm probably meant to be a first AD. I'm hyper about schedule and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So you're well organized, it sounds like, as well as like you've got the well organized side and the creative side really kind of well covered.
Yes. If you want to think about in terms of astrology, I'm a Pisces sun and a Virgo moon. So I have a creative side to me and then also a very I'm not really an astrology person, but I've been told this by my friends that, my Virgo moon is where I get my very organized side from. So yeah.
I see. Okay, I don't know much about astrology either, but
yeah, me either. I only know the two things applying to me.
Okay, because I do know some filmmakers are like very creative, but when it comes to time and maybe a bit more of the business side of things, they fall short slightly. But you seem to be quite the opposite, which is the perfect way to be, really, if you want to get your films out there and everything.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to be. I think it's the reason that my films have gotten produced and the reason that they've done as well as they have is because I'm pretty ambitious and on top of my stuff. But I also think the downside with being a very business focused person is that sometimes I can be that little voice in my head saying like, no, you can't do that, or that's not good enough, that's not rational, right? So I think that some artists take larger leaps than I might because they don't have the very like voice of reason trying to stay safe or stay organized or whatever, you know. So I think that there's pros and cons to having both sides. I think the role of an artist is to kind of be brave and daring and dream big, I dream big and then I go whoa, I pull back on the reins and think, okay, well, how are we gonna accomplish this?
yeah that's fair. I think I might be guilty of that as well, but gonna change it up. I'm gonna change it next year, I promise.
There you go.
That's what I tell myself every year. So when you finished Runner and that was out, the festivals and everything, and eventually you did pick up, what do you think you learned from making Runner that you took with you when you made Pick Up?
One of the biggest things is just I had more confidence in myself. When I was making Runner, I sort of felt like I was making it all up as I was going along. And I think that every filmmaker feels like that. I mean, right now I'm about to direct my first feature and I still feel like that. But I also knew that I could do it and I could do more than I even knew I was capable of. And so I think I doubted myself less, which is worth its weight in gold, because when you're producing or directing or you are running a set, you have to be the voice of confidence and the person who knows what they're doing, you know. So I think that doing Runner was a great just first round, great learning experience. One thing I definitely learned was I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew. So for Runner, it was like 7 locations and there was tracking shots and there were some stunts and there was lots of extras and all that kind of stuff. And for Pickup, I thought, well, this is a chance to make a really simple, polished, but like if you make a simple film, it has to be done super well. So they're actually harder to do to some extent. So I felt like Runner was my scrappy, ambitious project. And then Pickup was going to be like a more nuanced, complex, and yet very focused, smaller take. So I think it was just realizing what a short film could be, as opposed to with Runner, where I almost was making a feature film squeezed into a short. Pickup is just a very different tempo and a very different scope of things. So, yeah.
I see. Tempo and scope, that's for sure. It's interesting what you said about making a simpler film is, well, what's deemed simpler in the way many people would see it.
Yeah, right.
Is more difficult. Just give me food for thought again, because I'm writing a simpler film at the moment myself, and I've got to page 60 and I'm a bit like, ooh, this is quite hard now. One location,
right?
Micro budget film.
It's how do you make it interesting and compelling with 2 or 3 people and 1 location? And so I think the trick is how to make sure the story is dynamic enough, right? And there's enough ups and downs in the story to keep people along with it. But then how can you visually show that same arc. So for pickup, it was, you know, we're starting in the day, we're going to the golden hour and the sunset, and then we're going to end at night. So that's a visual change, even though the locations don't really change much. But then the shooting style of like shooting almost entirely from behind, and then shooting from the profile of the side, and then shooting from the front. So in terms of characters being kind of closed off at the start and then becoming more open and more vulnerable towards the end, but also just to give a visual shift to people so that they can get to know the characters more, and the characters are opening up to not only each other, but the audience. So that was key. I mean, I think if you're going to do one location, you have to think about what camera angles and the way that they shift throughout can help tell the story and keep things visually interesting, because our eyes get bored.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it can be tricky.
And did you study film at all? Did you study filmmaking?
No, I didn't. In college, I was a psychology major, and I was a film, television, and theater major. So I took like two film classes. It was like the history of film or something like that. And then it actually may have just been one. We just watched a lot of older films, and it was a great class, but I wasn't trying to do film as my thing. At that point, I was focused on acting and theater. So I was mainly taking theater classes. If I could go back in time, I definitely would have taken way more film classes, specifically the film classes that allowed you to kind of make a scrappy short film on campus with other actors, or taught you really concrete things about being in the business. I think that kind of stuff is worth its weight in gold. I did not have that. So I was mainly in theater and stuff like that. And so then when I moved to Chicago after I graduated college, I was there for about four and a half years before I started to kind of really get into the more independent film scene there.
I see. And before you made Runnard, was there any books you read or anything like that regarding filmmaking? Because you come across as someone with vast knowledge who's very experienced, rather than someone who's made.
I love that for me.
I mean it. Rather than like you've made a few short films. You sound like you've done more.
Thank you. Well, I think that I worked a couple things. One is that I worked at a casting house in Chicago. It's called Pascal Rudnicki Casting. I worked as an intern there for a couple months, and then they had me come back in after my internship was over, and I was basically an associate where I would be doing scheduling and I'd answer phones, but I'd also be in running auditions or being a reader for those kinds of things. And so I got to have a front row seat to see what works in an audition, what a director is looking for, the way in which a performance can shift on camera almost imperceptibly, you know? So I think I really learned my film and TV camera skills there. But then I took a class with a good friend and mentor of mine called, his name is Stephen Cohn. He's a Chicago filmmaker and he's pretty fantastic. And he did a class where basically he brought actors together to improvise and devise scene work together. And then we created three short films, kind of loose outlines for three short films. And then he wrote three short films. And as a class, we went out and we filmed them. So, and that was actually how I met my director of photography for Runner. He was a director of photography friend that he brought in to shoot our short films. So that was a crash course in scrappy, low budget, no budget filmmaking, right? And it was a way I met a lot of great friends that are in the filmmaking world. So it was kind of my first, that was my first big step in terms of a film education of sorts. It was like a 6-week class, but it was great. And I think I'm a lover of movies. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts about filmmaking, and I think that the only way to do this stuff is to learn and try to be on set as much as you possibly can be. So even though I've only directed five things, I've also been on tons of sets as an actor and try to soak up all the information I possibly can. Yeah.
Soaking up the information as an actor is vital, I think. If, in my opinion, as a former actor, I learned so much just looking around and hearing conversations and seeing how people behave and what they need to do. And sometimes as actors, we might be sitting around waiting while other people on set are really working their asses off. And it's fascinating to see
why and
how everything gets done. But lastly, your feature film that you were about to direct. Tell us about that and when can I see it?
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm actually allowed to say because I think we're about to make a post in the trades sometime soon, so they have to get the exclusive.
Okay. But
I'll talk about it. No, I'll talk about it in general. It is not written by me. It is written by a friend of mine. It is like a dark comedy horror thriller kind of thing. So a different genre for me, and I'm really excited to tackle it. But you know, Runner is a bit of a thriller. So I think that I have a good head start on that. And I like working with scenes involving tension and suspense. I think that's a really key part of any story, regardless of the genre. So I'm really excited to work on this. So yeah, my friend's the writer. We'll be filming it in Chicago in August. My director of photography who shot Runner, he will be shooting this one as well. So I'm really excited to work with him again on that one. And we're just shooting in August. So I have no idea when you can see it. But the minute that I can say more about this project, I will absolutely share it online.
Oh, great. Great. Brilliant. Look forward to hearing more about it and seeing you direct your first feature with your brilliant DP as well. It's going to be, an interesting watch, that's for sure. So Claire, thank you so much for coming on. Excuse me. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on and taking the time to speak to me. And I really enjoy your work.
Thank you.
I sincerely do. And I'm looking forward to watching more.